Say give a hoot, don't pull it.
He doesn't give a
hoot. We ready down there? All right, perfect. All right, it is 6:02. We will go ahead and call the Monday, May 1st meeting to order. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next we have the approval of the minutes. Minutes were distributed. Are there any additions or corrections?
No.
Okay, seeing none, I will take a motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have public comment. Joe? You're the only public I got, so feel free. All right, next we have Town Code of Ordinance Section 158, Rental Housing, the Draft Text Amendments Review.
Chairman, members of the council, this is a follow-up from the discussion on the 17th of April about some issues pertaining to licensure of the rental properties, especially those that have been out of compliance or have not pursued a license. So the existing ordinance section, which is 158 in the town code, was distributed at that time. There was discussion about specific items, specifically financial penalties for those in violation, as well as in a formal calendar of when inspections are and licenses are supposed to be received, applied for and received. So at this time, the and then the direction to the town attorney to make those changes at this time. Those changes are in the packet. The amendments are in red, and the items to strike through are obviously struck. So right now this is for another discussion item, but pending further discussion, provide direction to staff.
So I do have a question. The system that we have through Dude Solutions, does that also do the code enforcement? Like for tracking the rental properties, so it's a database instead of an Excel spreadsheet.
There's a module for all that, and I had another Zoom with them today. Hopefully, that gets launched in the next 2 months.
Okay, because I feel like that, like in my mind, right, we should be able to then automate like sending of the notifications and emailing out the letters and the late and calculating fines, and if there's violations, right, you can attach violations to properties. That's how all that should work, and that's a lot easier to do in a database than a spreadsheet.
Correct.
So,
and that's there's also a pay portal. So,
okay. Oh, perfect. Okay.
You can come over here and do cash or check or wait through the mail. Or
right.
You can just go online and pay with credit card.
Okay. So, is there like so? The only question I had is like instead of February 1st, should it be January 1st, and we start notifying them like November 1st? Because it says February 1st in here. February 1st each of each year.
Yeah, so I just did February 1st, assuming that because of holidays, that would give a kind of a 30-day grace period for the town staff and people who have rentals to process it. But it's no, I'm not dedicated to February 1st. I just had to put a placeholder in there.
So, I mean, in my opinion, it should be January 1st, and we should send notifications starting November 1st, right? So they have 2 months to get, and this is easier for the calendar year in my mind for calculation and not having to worry about, oh, shoot, it's February, right? We're need to...
Well, there's never been a line, and again, just because it's never been that way doesn't mean it's right or wrong. They've never been aligned with the fiscal year. They've always been aligned with the calendar year.
Right.
I mean, that can change, but...
I think it makes more sense for people outside of government to go with the calendar year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's when things start over. And I agree with Mayor Abner, if we start notifying them November 1st, that gives them 60 days to get everything together, and then come January 1st, out of compliance if they don't have their license. You know, it's sort of cut and dry. You start the new year with it, just like you would your car, you know, license or, you know, your registration or whatever.
So then for the inspections, do you want inspections every 3 years?
Knowing some of our properties, I feel like they probably should be less than three, but I don't, what do you guys feel?
Yeah, I don't have a problem unless it's re-rented.
Well,
Well, we can't, well, I guess we could inspect it every time it's re-rented, but the way some of these people go through renters.
I would agree with that. They turn over every 60 days. Yeah.
You could do 2 years.
Can we do 3 years and sort of just...
I mean, because if
we
do 3 years...
Have something at our discretion or more frequently at our discretion.
If there's somebody that's in there that has an issue, they can call us and request us to come.
Correct. And we can notify them of their rights.
Yeah, like, it'd be nice if we had a renter's bill of rights type deal on the website that they could go to and see that, you know, if you're having an issue, you contact so-and-so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So do it for every 3 years, but provide the resources for the renters if needed.
Now, was there... So, and I don't know where I read this, but I thought somebody had said at one point, like, if you, like, change renters, there is supposed to be something that does occur in between rental?
So I put in here if it's a new rental or the rental ownership changes hands and they have to relicense it.
Okay.
But not the tenant.
Okay. Right. Now, I thought somewhere there was something with the state of Maryland, but I could be wrong where I had heard that somewhere. And the only other thing on B, like where it has all delinquent fees and fines, like, and then it must be paid in full to the owner, can obtain a rental license and property is occupied. Like, because I feel like there are people that are occupying without having their, having their license. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just to further clarify that they can't occupy until the license
is issued. My thought. Like, there should be nobody in there until they have settled up, paid their debts, and completed their fines. And, I mean, I don't know how, if we go in there and do an inspection because a tenant called us and we find them in violation, it's not like you can make that tenant move out unless it's condemned. Then they have to move out, right? But,
Well, they would be out of compliance if they didn't have a license and it was occupied.
All right.
So we would... $100 a day then.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't have a problem adding that in. And then, I mean, again, back to the 3 years. Some places do it every 2 years to keep it even years. Some do, you know, it's whatever you're comfortable with. If you're inundated with them and there's so many that you can't do them every 3 years, then that's something to consider.
Well, so, and that's another question. Are they on a roving cycle based off of when they applied? How does that three-year cycle run? Like, is everybody up in the same year, or?
No.
Okay.
It rolls. It's about 210 or so every year.
Okay.
For our rentals. In the past, the issue has been that all 210 scheduled for any calendar year don't get done. So then we start the new year where we've dropped off. And then depending on how successful they've been making up that difference of people that didn't get picked up previous year, they're always running behind.
Okay.
So there are, I mean, there are rental units out there that haven't been inspected since 2019.
So are they not getting done because our contracting company is not available or because they are not reaching out to get their property inspected?
Probably both. But
okay.
But our company is only working off the rotation.
Okay.
So if they pick up where they're supposed to start in the new year, and there's been units that have been dropped off the previous year, unless we know who's been dropped off, they'll never know that.
So
they'll always start with A.
In theory, if we have the list in Dude Solutions, right, we should be able to have a inspection date, right, and run reports off of when they're due for inspection and just hand the rental company or our inspection company the list and say these are the ones that are up for inspection.
Right.
Right?
Their goal is to do 6 a day.
Okay.
So doing 200 in a year or 210 in a year isn't hard for
a
15 inspectors.
Okay.
It was a little bit more difficult when you had one guy who had to do everything.
Right.
And, you know, one landlord decides to, you know, schedules inspections on the 10th and decides not to be there on the 10th. Well, all of a sudden, our inspector's backlogged.
Right.
I did add in here as a way to kind of deter that from happening that once the town or the company provides notice of the inspection, it has to be reasonable notice. If it's not inspected within 60 days for either failure to respond back or failure to show up, then their license is revoked and then they would be subject to the
like
fee.
That. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that will incentivize them to make sure it gets scheduled within 60 days.
So do we want to leave it 3 or do we want to change it to 2? I mean, now's the time to do that.
Well, you got 210 a year. Is that per year for 3 years? So you're going to double that to get them done. So then you're
we might need to leave it 3 years just to be able to. I don't. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll leave it 3 years and see how. Or based on the tenant calling, right? Could change their inspection date. In which case, that would. So if a tenant calls and complains, right, that and they get an inspection, that resets their inspection calendar. Right. Okay. Oh. So that date would be updated in the system.
I would think that would be a one-off because if it got so bad within that three-year period, we had to go. Say after a year and a half, they called and the renter said, "This place is terrible. You need to come look at it."
Right. Okay.
Well, if it got that bad in a year and a half,
A year and a half out.
Well, and
a year
sometimes, and a half out. Okay. Sometimes they only call in a specific issue, like windows, and that's all the inspector
looks at.
And that's
all the inspector's going to look at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So having an inspection go in does not reset their calendar.
Right.
Okay. All right.
The only thing I would add on B, the code enforcement officer or designate shall re-inspect the premises to confirm that the violations have been corrected.
Okay.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because it might be him. It might be, and again, something like mold and insect infestation.
All right, we good with that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next we have the contract for the residential trash collection, Big Time Trash LLC.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, Council, this is the follow-up to the RFP for the residential trash collection. Town put out the notice, I believe it was the end of February. We had two qualified firms bid. The lowest one, and those were opened several weeks ago. This was presented at the April 17th workshop where the actual submittals were reviewed. The bids were reviewed at that time. The lowest responsible bidder for the three-year and one-year optional fourth year was Big Time, who bid at $17.98 a month per pickup point for an annual total of $224 for 1,150 pickup points. This also includes replacing all residential trash cans in the first year. This represents the lowest bid. Staff recommends accepting the Big Time bid and ask Mayor and Council to authorize the mayor to sign and execute the contract, which is attached.
The contract is the same one from last year. It changes the rate and it adds the mutual extension of a fourth year term if so decided, and then it adds the new cans.
I didn't have any problems with it. Is there any other discussion on it?
No. I've been happy with them.
Yes, me too. Councilman Willoughby, do you have any thoughts on that? Are you good?
I'm good with how it was presented.
Okay. All right, so then I will take a motion to accept the contract for the residential trash collection for Big Time Trash LLC.
I'll make a motion. We accept the contract for residential trash collection from Big Time Trash.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the contract for cell tower lease sale for Everest Infrastructure Partners.
Madam Mayor, from the Council, the sale for the cell tower lease on the industrial park water tower, not the M&M water tower, was up for a public bid. We received bids from two qualified professional firms, Everest Infrastructure Partners and TowerPoint. The offers were as follows: TowerPoint $300,000 and Everest Infrastructure $310,000 at the April 3rd. Monthly meeting, the mayor and council reviewed and discussed the offer. At that time, they voted to accept the offer from Everest and directed the town attorney to develop the necessary contract document, which is attached. Staff recommends accepting the Everest Infrastructure Partners offer and ask mayor and council to authorize the mayor to sign and execute the contract. Contract is attached.
Do you want me to go through
Right. Yeah, you can if you want. I mean, I didn't have any problems with what was in there, so.
Yeah, so I just added, I think a lot of it is based on the discussions we've had in the past. One is the six-year term of the easement, provided that the water tower exists, but the town's under no obligation to maintain it. Obviously, you'll continue to maintain it as your water tower, but if it falls into disrepair and you don't have the funds to fix it, this wouldn't require you to do so. I took out, they had an offset in here at the time of closing that they would offset the amount due paid to you for any rent that had accrued in the time. I deleted all that. It doesn't really seem necessary. You should get the straight 310 plus any sums of rent that are due to you based on when the contract closes. I changed the, for any future cell tower lease to 55%. I don't know. I mean, I'm not committed to that, but I figured why not try for the extra 5%. Due diligence, I put a specific 60-day period on it. They didn't have a due diligence duration, and then within 10 days of expiration of due diligence, they'd have to let you know whether they're going to proceed or not. And then within 30 days of expiration of due diligence, they would have to go to closing. You know, it's pretty standard in these types of agreements to have actual time frames on due diligence and closing. And then at the end, I added language that we've discussed in the past about if they are going to allow additional infrastructure or tenants on the tower, that the town would have the authority to have advanced written notice and have someone there present. And the town could reasonably direct and restrict activities based on them being safe for the water tower. And then again, they have to obtain appropriate property and liability insurance.
So they have not seen this yet. This is, right, we need to send them our updated one to see if they accept that, and then...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so if they accept this, I think my understanding is they can move forward with discussions with AT&T, and then we can amend the actual easement agreement based on the accepted language. But I didn't take the time to go through the easement and make these amendments until we know kind of where they stand.
Does anybody have any other thoughts or comments on that?
I'm good with it.
No, same way here.
Mm-hmm. You good, Councilman Willoughby?
I'm good with it as well.
Okay. So do we just need a motion to move, to forward this to them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can I have a motion to forward the edited contract, the revised contract from the town attorney to Everest Infrastructure Partners, just they accept that?
Make a motion to forward a revised contract to EIP Holdings 2 LLC, it looks like.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the Community Development Block Grant 2023 funding cycle.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, members of council, the Community Development Block Grant is a federal program, federal funds administered at the state level through the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. There were a wide variety of uses, community projects for CDBG funding eligibility. One of those is public water and sewer infrastructure. Funding cycle for the current projects open on the 29th of March, and all applications are due by 2 o'clock on June 7th, 2023. Staff is requesting that the mayor and council authorize a submittal of an application's funding cycle is set Monday, 15th of May, which is the next workshop at 6 p.m. At the date for the required public hearing, five days public notice is required. This would begin formally on 7th of May, Sunday, with a newspaper publication, although the town will use a social media post to publicize public hearing immediately, which is to say tomorrow. The attached documentation includes a sample public hearing notice, a sample required resolution, which will be adopted on the 15th of May, the required public participation plan also to be adopted on the 15th of May, and the applicant requirements. So what's the purpose of it? Staff specifically pursuing $860,000 in funding for the engineering design phase of the pump station upgrade project. GMB, the town's consulting engineering firm, provided a cost estimate of $4,303,000 for the pump station's project, and the town is town staff applied for funding from Maryland Department of the Environment, which we've not heard back from, as well as the federal delegation for congressional directed spending, which we have heard back from. The project has moved to the recommended project list for the CDBG. sum of $3,442,000, or roughly 80%. At present, no information is available by about the NDE funds. NDE funds should be available in May, beginning of June. But at this point, we don't know if we're going to qualify for any NDE funding. This project has gone to NDE in the last 3 years and has not been funded. Also has not scored particularly well in the funding application. So staff recommends approving the staff's request to apply for the CDBG funding cycle of paid design engineering costs for the town's pump station improvement project. Again, that would be to the tune of about $20,000, a 20% match. The $860,000 is roughly the 20% match for the $3.3 million for the totality of the project. And asks the mayor and council to authorize staff to advertise a public hearing on this application and hold that public hearing on Monday, May 15th at 6 p.m. as part of a workshop. Alternately, the public hearing date could be set as a special meeting for a sometime the week of the 22nd, but I wouldn't push it further than that, knowing that June 7th comes close. The five-day public notice requirement applies in any event, so pending further discussion, provide direction to staff, and staff's already started the application process anyway, so it can be pulled down if need be, or it can be green-lighted if need be.
Anybody have any comments?
Mm-mm. No, I don't
think we should.
I think we should too.
Yeah, I think we should, but I do have a question about how it all works. You're saying CDBG 20% or $860 million for engineering. Is that all that money could be spent for if we got it? Like, do we know it's going to be that much in engineering, or are we just...
We had a meeting on this on Thursday, and GMB, to their credit, builds in a 10% contingency on everything. Now, 10% of a $4.5 million project is a pretty sum of money. My expectation is that the expectation for the funder would be that the town spends their money first. So the town 20% match, whether that winds up being $4.3 million or $4.1 million, the $860,000 is spent first.
Right.
And design goes before construction anyway. So I don't know that anything left over would be prorated, because the $860,000 would come and go before...
Right. What I didn't want to have happen is say $500,000 became engineering, and then there's another $300,000 that we couldn't actually use on.
Yeah, that's correct.
Building, and then we're stuck with a $300,000 gap. That's why I didn't know how that honestly how that worked. Just out of curiosity sake.
Well, if at this point, after all the applications we put in, construct, and you never know about these things until we put out the bid.
Right.
If the bid comes in, you know, at $4.7 million, then we got to do some serious
finagling anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be some discussion about value engineering to change the scope of work, and we go back to the funders and explain that.
Okay.
But at this point, you know, we've had qualified professional engineers come up with the project at this cost estimate with a contingency built in. So... The congressional delegation, to their credit, didn't fund every penny of it like they did in the streets. They funded 80% of it. And so all the rest is on the town. CDBG is a grant. It's not a loan. It doesn't add to our debt. But it does need to be, you know, the town needs to have 20% skin in the game.
Right. Yep.
To get 80% of somebody else's funding.
Okay, I was just curious how that worked to make sure I was thinking correctly.
Yeah, and the application speaks to all these things about, you know, does it help employment? Well, this particular project doesn't. Does it affect housing? This particular project doesn't. But water and sewer infrastructure stuff really doesn't pertain to
it. It's going to affect housing if nobody can flush a toilet because it's going nowhere but the river.
That's right. If we have a pump go down, we got other problems, so...
But Marshall's got problems.
Right? Then we
have. So that's what we got. If the 15th makes sense, the 15th makes sense. If sometimes the week of the 22nd makes sense, it's all good as long as we're all done, wrapped up by Memorial Day, because otherwise June 7th wraps around.
We're here the 15th anyway. Yeah, I see no reason to make 15th. A special night for it.
I mean, right, you're comfortable with that window to get it done?
Well, it's a 5-day notice. You know, we can start, like I said, we can start advertising it tomorrow. But strictly speaking, it needs to be advertised in a newspaper to meet the 5-day obligation. Right. So, and that then the application, the submittal requirements are attached, as well as the sample. Participation plan, the sample of notice, and the sample of the resolution. So that's where all that is. There's some things that the engineer is going to have to do, and we discussed that at the meeting last Thursday. For instance, the new requirement that there's metal, steel, iron in the project. There's a U.S. manufacturer obligation. So that was discussed about the pumps that would be selected and other infrastructure that to make sure that we meet the Buy American, Made American obligation, which is, again, new for this funding site. So that's where we are with this. Again, bright side is it's not a loan, it doesn't add to our debt.
That was a very bright side.
Yes.
Do we suspect that if they grant us this will be $650,000 of the money we already have from the small business loan?
No, this is a separate ask.
This is brand new.
They told us to put it in for separately when they
were. Okay, that's what I was just making sure of.
Yeah, now this is brand new. The small business again that.
Because that's CDBG too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just didn't know if they were going to look at this and say, well, you already have that. All we need to give you is 150 and call it a day.
Well, I mean, that...
I mean, it's possible, but that's not the way you were led to believe.
Well, CDBG, that 620 could be converted, $620,000 could be converted to part of this match. But then we don't have road money match anymore.
Right. Right. That's why I was curious what they were going to look at it as. If they thought they might already take the 650, say, well, you already have that, and then just give you the 150 to make up the difference, and that'll be our money for the year.
They might, but they do know that we're trying to use that for the road match.
Okay.
And they did, when they had the meeting with us when they came here, they were like, just put in for it. Put it in for a separate line item. So they did encourage us to do that, which is why Tom Andrew Reeves started that.
Yeah, just
right. And not what optimistic. Which I'm never optimistic, but I mean, our match for the funding for the streets is pretty well tied up. It's a lousy $288,000.
Thank you.
Which we've got sitting in that one CDBG. I mean, worst comes to worst, $310,000 sale of police, more than that, and you know, it's one time revenue for one time expense, wraps up $288,000.
Right.
The streets is only $288,000, which only. But considering it buys $1.5 million worth of road.
Well, right. 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 Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
80% is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, 100% is better when you're talking to these people. Like
this pocket and this pocket. That's wrong. As long as it's not dead.
I agree.
Amen to that.
You know, sorry, Kim. Thanks for the offer. All right, so we will begin the unofficial public notice, get the notice in the paper for Sunday, and carry on with the application.
All right, next we have the fiscal year 2023-2024 budget update, real property tax rate, and set the public hearing date.
Madam Mayor, members of council, several months now, staff's been working on the fiscal year budget, and we brought that forward to mayor and council meetings and workshops for review in the past. The complete line item budget, full of line items, will be available on the 15th for a next to final review and discussion. Staff is asking that the required public hearing invoke our proposed for the workshop, which would be a special meeting and workshop, on Monday the 19th of June. The draft budget key points are, I've tried to make things as clear as possible. That's why this damn report even has a picture.
The picture was very helpful.
It's a very good picture. It's nice.
Real property tax rate remains constant at 88 cents on the 100 of assessed value, although the constant yield revenue would have a tax rate of 85.5 cents. The real property tax rate of 88 cents yields an additional $41,159 over the current year's tax assessed yield. So when all is said and done, we're $41,000 to the good if the assessment, the assessed value doesn't change. And of course, what we get from the assessor's office indicates that there might be some change, but what they give us as a net is a net, and we work out what their proposed net is, or their estimated net. All right, so what does all that mean? It means that a $30,000 broken water line or a $15,000 repair to a pump or $20,000 repair to, I don't know, tennis court lights eats up $41,159 pretty quickly. It also means that on an individual basis, no one property owner is bearing an unbearable increase. Think of all the taxable lots we've got in town, and the total of the increase comes to $41,000. So no individual lot or property owner bears an unreasonable burden by keeping the tax rate at 88 cents. The cell tower lease in the underlying item again shows zero for the upcoming fiscal year instead of $15,000 rent, with the expectation that the lease is sold before June 30th. Now, if that needs to get fixed, it'll get fixed. The highway user fund revenue, which is approximately $121,000, of which annually goes to debt service obligation as an eligible use, so there's no issue with that. It shows that the state's estimate of the highway user fund, $153,563.94, that's the estimate. Billing department rental license inspection fee represents a pass-through to the contractor, and staff is recommending that both the rental license and rental inspection fees are increased by $20 annually to $120 from the current 100 to cover increased code enforcement and police service demands. And that's not every property owner, but the ones that are problematic are skating, riding free, and they need to pick up some of the costs that they're incurring on public safety and code enforcement. Solid waste collection and disposal represents a pass-through to the contractor. It was just an agenda item a few minutes ago. Shows a monthly per collection unit rate of $17.98 to cover full cost of the service and the contractor's cost to supply new trash cans in the first year of the contract to everybody. So everybody gets a new trash can. The way the big-time contract and bid was structured, the $17.98 is a constant for the term of the contract, 3 or 4 years. So there would be no reason to have a rate increase after the $17.98 to pay for the full cost and the new trash can. That would be a constant for 4 years, assuming big time lives up to the contract. Water and wastewater service charges will not be increased. All right, so there's no increase on the water or sewer. What we do show is about a 1% growth over the current fiscal year based on stable rate numbers. Neither the tax base nor the utility user base growth. Growth is static around here. So that's what we've got. Now, we're going to see a little bit more water revenue on this due to the AMI water meter replacement program, maybe once people are able to track what their usage is, which is one of the benefits of the AMI program. You can see week by week how much water you use, and it gives full control to the property owner to be able to determine their water use. So are we going to see a spike? Probably not. It's amazing how much, I track myself on this thing, and it's amazing the consistency of water use from 1 week to another. I don't think we're going to see anybody with substantial spike all of a sudden they decide to use a lot of water. Now, you can see we have a leak as well, so you'll be able to track those things and see if you're losing water. connection charges. It's a user fee pays meant to provide full cost coverage. And that's, staff is proposing an increase in that. What we're only proposing is three new connections during the course of our fiscal year, because that's been about right. Again, we don't have a lot of new construction going on, so as a result, we don't have a lot of new connections. Staff is proposing an increase on both utilities from the current $3,500 to proposed $5,000, and that would commence July 1. We recently went through a connection where the connection exceeded the fees by about $5,500, which every other ratepayer in town had the pleasure of paying for. And this is user. If you want a connection, it's the cost of doing business. If you want to build a $200,000 home in town, $10,000 water and sewer connection, one time, is the cost of doing business. It doesn't need to be subsidized by every other ratepayer who's also carrying the debt load. So this is strictly user pays. If you don't need a new connection, doesn't affect you. If you need a new connection, this is the cost of doing business. We'll take a look at the chart in a minute. Public safety expenditures account for just under one quarter of all expenditures. And that's all expenditures. That's every penny that comes in here. Taxes, property taxes, real property taxes, income tax, highway user fund, inspection licenses, all that stuff, water and sewer, just about 23% is spent on public safety. Capital projects in this budget are limited to those that have secured grant funding allocations, including ARPA funded, which will not add to the town's current debt load. And speaking of debt, debt service payments total in excess of $770,000 in the fiscal year, or roughly $1 out of every $6 of revenue across all funds. What does that mean in English? The cost of government is paid by 83 cents on the dollar of every dollar coming in to cover that cost, because 16.6% of it goes to debt service. So, here's a picture. Sometimes you can just say what you can say. It shows, the pie chart shows the percentage of the total budget for the following. Debt service payments, which is number one. Water utilities, which is two. Sewer utilities, which is three. Public safety, four. General government, so that includes all the public works, admin, finance, code enforcement, legislative, and legal. Accounts for only 20%. And then there's the actual budgeted numbers, so there is some rounding up, but it all adds up. Actually, it adds to 99.98% rather than 100 due to the rounding errors, but, you know, what's 2/100 of 1% on a budget like this? So that's what it boils down to. Debt number one is roughly 17%. Water is roughly 10%. Sewer is 30%, public safety is 4%, general government, everything else is 20% of a budget of $4,664,700 and some change, not including capital projects, and any of the capital projects. External funding for the capital projects, the pump stations, the sludge belt press, and phase two of the paving is uncertain currently, and so those are not in the proposed budget. They'll show up as a proposed capital project for the sake of approving the budget, but we don't know about any of them yet, including the funding sources. So the 20% match would go through a community development block grant. So that's the gap funding that, again, this gap funding will not add to the town's current debt load. This gap funding will not add to the town's current debt load. The gap funding will not add to the town's current debt load. In any event, due to the federal fiscal year and ongoing federal budget process, any federal support isn't going to be here before October 1st, which is when the federal fiscal year starts. And depending on what they can do with the budget on Capitol Hill, you might not even see it until later this year or even into calendar year next year. My expectation is we'll know with the leprechauns if we're going to be receiving any federal funding. I wouldn't expect the way things are trending, I wouldn't expect to get anything in calendar year 2023. I'd expect some movement on the budget much, much later in the calendar year, and then use the decide to do decisions about allocations to the departments probably in the early part of next calendar year. So while it's all nice and we're sitting on lists, nothing's going to happen for a prolonged period of time. So don't be disappointed. Both the Belt Press and our pump stations are being considered for funding for the Maryland Department of Environment, either through grants and grants and loans, and NDE's decision is likely later this month. So that's where we are with the capital projects. They're limited to things we need, and a wish list is nice. I have to have a list is essential, and until the pump stations and the belt press, because remember the belt press dewaters sludge. So what that means is the heavier the sludge is, the more water content it has. And since we pay by the ton over at the dump, we're paying for water. So the more water we can get out of our sludge before it goes over to the dump, that actually saves us money. And plus this press we've got there now is small, undersized, doesn't really work in cold or cold weather, wet weather, or sunny. Alright, so attached to two documents that previously part of the public record. The first shows the town's current and ongoing annual debt service obligations by individual loan issue. The second is the constant yield property tax rate public notice. We have to get the public notice out for this year, for this current year, which was advertised May 5th, 2022. As shown, the tax base growth for the current fiscal year was 2.8%. resulting in a yield of $39,025. So again, the $30,000 broken water main on Christmas Day, $15,000 for lights, what have you, lawyer fees, engineer fees, eats up a lousy $39,000 pretty quickly. The fiscal year growth for the fiscal year growth remains static at roughly 2.8%, and that's why the projected yield is $41,159. We'll take a look at that in a minute. So except for tax assessment increases, the town's tax base growth has been below that of the ARPA standard. The ARPA standard came out at 4.1% annual growth is the expectation. And they said, well, if you haven't grown 4.1%, everything up to 4.1%, you can use as general revenue. This was before the take everything up to $10 million as general revenue. Legislation was passed, which is what the town approved, you know, what the town adopted. All right. Even ARPA's raised that, Treasury's raised that 4.1% to 5.2, with the expectation is you need to be growing 5%. Okay, why not? That trend continues. South flat growth coupled with the high debt service percentage that we have to pay. We can't default on our debt, and inflationary pressures require a fiscally austere budget, which is what we've got. If things get tough, there are approaches, including staff furlough days, services that require full cost funding can no longer be subsidized by an ever dwindling fund balance reserve, and deferred maintenance of water and sewer infrastructure results in higher annual repair costs, including those paid to external contractors. Today with a leaking water line and consumes more staff time, also as we've had today with a different leaking water line. So staff is recommending that the mayor and council adopt the 88 cents on $100 of real property tax rate, advertise the rate as required, and then set the public hearing date for Monday the 19th work session / special meeting to adopt the budget. Let's take a look at our two things. All right, this is the confusing one because it's sideways, but it's the famous drop-off. So famous the drop-off in real life.
I liked it color-coded. I thought that was very helpful.
Well, here's the best thing about the color-coded is, and again, that's why the $15,000 investment in dead books was worth every penny.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's $800,000. That line is $800,000 line. And this is where we are relative to the $800,000. There's the $700,000. But the fun part. color-coded and see how much it is and when it falls off. All right, so on the bright side, in 2028, well, and actually in 2027, this little tiny $5,800 loan appropriation out there for 30 years finally expires. So that matures, so we're $5,870 to the good. Its friend is a drinking water appropriation of $95,775. So the bright side, by 2028, both orange and little blue fall off. But we still got magenta and red. Red is the wastewater appropriation loan, annual payment of $161,000. And magenta is the local government infrastructure appropriation loan of $208,000, although that varies over the years, $203,000, $199,000, $194,000. In 2028, it matures, so I guess we have to pay off every, you know, all the little rounding offs. So that's a $208,000 payment. What's the bright side? The bright side comes in 2029, where orange and little friend blue have fallen off, red and magenta have fallen off. So rather than be up here approaching 800,000, we're over here just slightly above 300,000 as an annual obligation. Picture speaks for itself. Brighter days are ahead, 5 years ahead, but they're still ahead. The discipline is not filling this white space with unnecessary debt. And that hasn't always been a fiscal value for the town of Federalsburg, and there's data to back up what I just said, and anybody's welcome to come to my office anytime and look at any financial data. I'll talk about numbers and cash all day long to anyone who wants to talk about it. But this is what we've got. That's why if we can get streets funded without having to raise taxes, go into reserve, or acquire more debt, and phase one is ARPA, phase two would be congressionally directed spending, earmark, we can get the belt press done. And the belt press, I know, is more of a high-value project for the infrastructure people, and I appreciate that, and we are paying money to process water at the dump. It falls in importance behind the pump stations, because the pump stations are, as was said by our licensed operator, catastrophic at any given point in time. So that we kind of can't play with pump stations anymore. So if we can get on pump stations, streets, phase one and phase two, and belt press without any more debt, all that's great and 5 years away, but it's just it's a matter of what you value. And playground equipment and a really nice waterfront and, a new tennis court are all nice. The three projects that are proposed are, basic Western civilization, plumbing and streets. So that's where we are. But this, again, this speaks for itself. And how is this put together? All the documentation, there's a certificate for every one of these loans that's in with the loans, and the loans are over there in the vault. And when you stack them up, it's a stack about that high, about 2 feet high. But there's a certificate of 3 or 4 pages that lays out exactly what the terms are, the maturity date, the rate, etc. All that information was Xeroxed, scanned, sent over to debt books, and there smart people put together the data in the database. So this is just one way of looking at it, but we all like this picture.
It's a good picture. Tells a very good story.
Well,
we got what we got.
One of the things that I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we need to look at that 88 cent, for an increase. Because we're up to eyeballs in debt. And it's something that if we would increase it, you can always go in future years and revert back. So, I mean, I think we need a really serious discussion on that. And the other thing, Larry, I was under the impression that the sewer rate that we always operated under a loss.
Yeah, it's a loss, but it's subsidized by the general fund.
Which should not be.
Correct. That's the debt service ratio.
So do we need to have a discussion on that? I think we do.
I think if we can get some repair money in here, that's offset, because it's not the operations isn't what's killing us. I mean, it's the repair of things that are breaking all the time, because mm-hmm. everything's old. That's the problem. I mean, and that's on water and sewer both. You can't project, well, what's our repair budget for this year?
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't do that and then set a rate accordingly. So the idea that we're gonna incur some costs that we haven't budgeted for with a system like ours shouldn't, you know what I mean? I mean, that's why you keep a reserve.
That's why I say it would be nice to have some in escrow.
Yeah. And again, if we can get some stability on when we need the contractor that our guys can do. Our guys fixed one patch today with a leak on Brooklyn, but we needed the contractor to fix a patch on a water line under the bridge. So there are things that our guys do some other connections, water and sewer, but sometimes we need the contractor, and that bill comes to $5,500 more than what the fees cover.
You
lose some, but with the whole system, it's just what we got and what our guys are prepared, to be able to do on their own.
Well, that leak under the bridge, did we get a second?
Well, contact three.
Okay.
One never called back, and one said they don't work in Maryland anymore, and the third was available. So at a certain point, it's like we're not proving anything to ourselves anymore, It might be worthwhile just to put out a formal bid request, get however many firms pre-qualified, go down the list, and make phone calls.
Yeah,
if you call somebody cold, maybe they don't want to be bothered with the job, they don't have it handy, they don't want to come into Maryland if they work in Delaware. I mean, it could be a lot of things, but if at least you're pre-qualified, three or four of them, you got three or four of them pre-qualified. This wasn't an emergency. I mean, this was a relatively small leak. But it was in a very difficult spot for our guys to fix, and you got to fix it.
But I thought we were getting ripped off at the estimate that it was given. I mean, you got about 50 bolts.
Yeah. But that falls under, you're only getting ripped off if you can find somebody cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or to do it.
You know, that's why if nobody's calling you back or giving you a quote to come do it,
right.
Do you let the water sit there and keep flowing, or do you pay
a
higher price?
You don't have an option.
Right.
Other option is engineer comes and sizes up everything.
Yeah, we had one time.
That's why. Contractor knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Question of, do we need the contractor as frequently as we do?
Well.
And my concern about raising rate at any point in time, or raising the tax at any point in time, Middlesbrough figures out a way to spend money that it gets.
Yes.
So perhaps let's see austerity. Let's see if we can discipline ourselves and not spend money for a year. Now, you got to fix water lines on Christmas Day. You don't need lights at the tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need $5,000 spotlights. Just saying. A $5,000 spotlight is terrific. There's nothing that's lit up that's important, that says anything that important, that it justifies a $5,000 expenditure.
Hey.
Just saying. We've got 14 hours of daylight now. People can't read the sign. They're welcome to stop their car, get a flashlight, and take a look at it. And I'm dead serious about that, because that becomes, we needed pumps and we got playground equipment.
Well, I think you do have to draw the line somewhere. So, I think we do need a tanker belt and set an example.
Your presentation was it? The magenta was at 2028, you said?
Yeah, that one.
It's 28, and then all the blue stuff is
all
another 5 years?
Blue stuff goes on for eternity. It goes on until 2034. But that's only from 2015. So, you know, all this blue is all 2015. So it's not the end of the world that that lasted for 20 years.
20 years.
It's a hefty sum. It's 209 grand a year, 210 a year. But, you know, over 20 years, the idea is, you know, it doesn't weigh. You know, it's not disabling financially on people in year one. Everybody over the lifespan pays it off.
So,
but it's a ton of money. You're right.
Do that at the same special meeting.
I have a comment. You are proposing that we do the public hearing on Monday, June 19th. That's a federal holiday. That's Juneteenth.
Then Tuesday the 20th. We're going to have to change that meeting anyway. Thanks for calling that out.
I was just talking to Kim because I think the constant yelled hearing has to be before June 17th.
Does it? Okay.
So I have a question. Maybe somebody can explain this to me. So I participated. MML had a legislative recap with highlights of bills, and apparently there was a bill that was introduced and I believe passed that you don't need to advertise. It's something to do with constant yield, and if you're not changing it, then you don't need to have the public hearing. It's only if you're changing it that you have to have the public hearing. Now, so I don't know if it's not till next year, so we still have to do it this year, mm-hmm. but it doesn't go into effect till next year. But because our rate is already over the constant yield, if we would still need to do one, or if that's your rate is equal in constant yield.
I'm so interested.
Do you know what that is? Yeah.
So in the past, generally, we get a letter every year telling us whether we're exempt or not, and it's whatever the revenues are between constant yield and what our rate is. And we don't always have to do the public hearing.
Okay.
But I can look at that and see when and how it changes. Because if you exceed it, but you're not changing your rate for the next fiscal year, maybe then you don't have to.
That's what I'm wondering. I know that debt does not take effect until next year, because they did say for your budget cycle this year you would need to have it, but for your budget cycle next year you don't need to have it.
Okay.
But my question was if we're not changing ours, are we okay not to have the public hearing
going forward after this year?
Yes. That would be my question. And I did ask them to give us the bill numbers because they were running through all the stuff. I'm like, can you guys give us the bill numbers? And then they started to, but that had already passed.
Okay. So I don't look at that. There are a couple of other amendments that occurred this cycle that will affect municipalities. Some roll out October 1st. There's obviously the recreational and medicinal cannabis and all that stuff. There is a meeting that MMAA is having next Thursday, and they're supposed to do a legislative recap. So generally they give out agendas and whatever they've discussed, so I'll share that with everyone.
Okay, and then MML is having a whole day session on August 10th for recreational for cannabis.
Okay.
And for what the law means to the municipalities when it passed. Exactly what it means and what municipalities can and cannot do based on the legislation that was passed.
August 10th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
It is a full day in Annapolis.
Since we are discussing that, I know some jurisdictions have been interested in, and some particularly in Talbot County have adopted moratoriums for issuing business licenses or building permits for any recreational or medicinal sale facility or manufacturer facility for a period of time while they can update zoning codes.
That's against the law.
Well,
you're not allowed to do that.
You can do a moratorium as long as it's only for a specific period of time while you're adopting something, and some of them are a year, which I agree is a little long. Some of them are shorter, and it's because they're in the process of updating their zoning anyways, and they are going to permit them. It's just a figuring out where. And they are tied to the same time of the rollout of the legislation so that you can contemplate what's in the legislation, where they're allowed, and really figure out where you can best permit them.
Right. Well, I mean, it goes into effect July 1, but as far as the licensing and who already has it, it's going to the places that already have it. So the medical, we won't have any dispensary here at not any time in the next year anyway.
Well, and
but
we
the
already
regulation,
have
yeah, the
have
regulation,
areas where it's permitted. So I, you know, it's
yes.
not as big of a.
Well, the biggest thing was dealing with outdoor smoking. That would be stuff that you can address in your ordinance because you can do that. And what the landlord's rights are for the renters versus what they allow. What we allow, we probably should get like signs, and this will be for another meeting topic, but we should get signs like no smoking on town property, like where we have no alcohol. There should be, those should be posted in the parks. That's the kind of stuff that, that they will be discussing on, okay, on the 10th. And they do allow, so right now the minimum is 500 yards from like the school, or 500 whatever from the school, I think it's yards from the school, but you can increase that. You cannot reduce it based on the state law, but you can increase it like 1,000 feet
public health
or whatever.
Safety and welfare.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And that's for a facility or for?
For facilities.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I have the House bills for that, so I will pull the House and Senate bill down for mm-hmm. that, so we can start to take a look at that, because we should get it on our radar to make sure that, you know, we do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do we need to have a motion to set that public hearing? Do we need to look at it?
So for constant yield, you have to have a public hearing. The public hearing has to be prior to June 17th, and you need to advertise 1 to 3 weeks in advance. So if you can, you'd have to introduce it on the 15th. Unless you set a special meeting and have the public hearing on June 5th.
Well, so we are out of town on June 5th, so we were going to ask if we could change the meeting to the following Monday, or you guys can have the meeting without us on June 5th. Because Councilwoman Solani are out of town.
Yeah, I wish she and I.
I am out on the 12th, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a public hearing. What about the 6th?
We're out that way.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter one way or the other. I'm at
I can't believe we're scheduling for. I can't believe it's May. Actually,
mm-hmm.
What else are we doing in June? If we change that to the 12th.
And then we have a meeting on the 20th.
21st. Or, yes, 20th.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, the 12th and the 20th are our meetings. So
and
we
I
could
may
have
not be here the 20th, because I wasn't thinking about the 19th being a holiday. I may be leaving town the 20th to go south. So.
Okay.
But I will see how that works out. So let's do the first one on the 12th so we're all here.
Okay.
Last thing we need to do is have a public hearing on the 5th. You two out of town, and one of the other three of us get sick and not making and not be able to do what we need to do. So,
well, yeah, you're cutting it close.
You know.
Then.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then you would need to technically advertise for 3 weeks again, right? If you change the date. So
you have to have it done before the 17th.
Well, I know
too,
that's
so
my point.
All right, so you need a motion to accept the current rate of 0.88 and schedule a public hearing for June 12th?
Yeah, so at your next May meeting, you will have an ordinance that would adopt
okay.
the 0.88.
Okay.
We can talk about the budget. If the budget's not ready to be adopted or any of the other rates aren't adopted at that time, we can just break out constant yield and make it its own so that we hit that.
Okay.
Larry, would you be able to answer two questions on the budget, or you want them in writing later?
I don't, like I said, I don't have the line items, but if they're big picture questions,
they're easy ones.
First one is water meters. We get them up and running. That's 3 months, 3 or 4 months a year on the one employee. Is his whole salary stays in wastewater? What are in water? What are we doing with that?
The reader is split, isn't it, between water and wastewater?
I didn't tell you.
Is it going to stay that way? Have we thought about that with his extra time?
Most of his time is actually, I mean, when he's not reading meters, he's mostly in sewer.
Well, that's why I didn't know if he would switch totally over that or just asking questions. Cause
yeah,
that,
no, I mean,
it ain't a whole lot of money one way or the other if you're splitting a salary in half. I was just curious what we were thinking of with him.
My understanding several years ago, correct me, is that a number of employees were put water and sewer to save some money on the general fund. So while all the public works guys can something on the utility side, that their salaries aren't exactly broken out half and half.
Okay.
I mean, my salary is broken out half, 25 and 25. And that's, I don't know who else, Sandy's maybe, it's 50-50.
Oh, she's split. I think it's 7 by 25.
Yeah, so some of those things were to just...
I mean, playing with money.
Yeah, yeah, just moving, you know, just moving some money around. But it's really hard in our organization with so few people to say you actually spend 25% of your time.
Right.
So, no, but I mean, most of his, I mean, nobody should be spending that much time on water anymore. I mean,
well, right, and that's why I was just curious. I mean, not, like I said, for the amount of money, I was just curious if we thought what he was going to do. And the other thing
I
is...
I haven't looked at it. I mean, so I don't know what you know, maybe 80-20 might work.
Because I meant, I don't know if that would, might fix one break in the other side or something. I don't, you know. But the other thing was, in light of the police chief's email saying that they are not going to get cameras from that company, do we need to relook at his 50,000 line estimate on there to make sure?
No, I think, I mean, the way, and Chief and I had a conversation last Wednesday, I think what he proposes now is better. I mean, a middleman is removed, which is helpful. And if we purchase them, we're not kind of under an obligation to, you know, that we would if we were leasing them, which is to keep our, you know, for lack of a better word, our landlord happy. All we have to do is make sure that they generate some revenue and that the people who are getting pinged are actually getting pinged. And that becomes 100% town of.
But then we got to make sure they're
dialed
in and
the way
all that behind the scenes stuff now falls on us as opposed to the other.
Right, and the way the chief explained it is really no different than what we do with our radar, with our mobile radar.
Okay.
So I think there's going to be some, I mean, that's going to be a learning curve in the first year. We're going to be having some expenditure on upkeep. But I think that's going to balance out over time. And all same thing with the revenue, on the revenue side. I think that's going to balance out over time to where people learn how to discipline their behavior, some alter the speed, but some won't.
And we can lower that speed limit in front of the school to like 15.
Yeah, we had that discussion as well.
Yep.
Because I know that that's really an issue for the people who live on University.
Yes.
Is the actual speed limit that's allowed. Now, let's get it down to 15 and see if people still driving 30.
Right. And if they are, they'll be getting a $40 ticket.
Correct.
I mean, I guess...
Correct.
I've just got a problem with this whole thing. For months, we used to get updates from the chief that told us that nobody, only two or three people in every week ever went over 37 miles an hour. We can go back and look at them. He told us time and again, nobody ever went that fast. Now, all of a sudden, when he's got a good idea, he's got enough people going that fast to create 50,000 in a year. His first emails that he sent to us for 6 months with the portable speed thing and what he's telling me now contradict each other. I don't see how we're getting 50,000.
The legislation under which we get speed camera is a half mile around, half mile
correct
radius around the school. That covers a lot of territory. So, I mean, we all know people who speed on Main Street. They'd be, you know, the camera was set up on Main Street, you'd be able to pick those folks up. Same thing with Bloomingdale. We all know people speed on Bloomingdale.
But at 37, 36 and a half, whatever the...
I've got people right up behind me doing low 30s.
West Central.
But again, low 30 doesn't get you a ticket.
No, that's true.
I'm in.
That's true.
I just don't see how he told us all them times of University being as wide open as it is and people goes as fast there, it seems like, as anywhere. And he never reached that high number that all of a sudden now we're going to reach it on every other street in town. But I just think we're setting ourselves up for a $50,000 shortfall in the police budget that's already too tight to manage.
No, I agree with you there, Scott.
That's my thoughts. I just...
But there was also discussion of putting speed bumps on University.
I'm not in favor of putting a speed bump on anything.
No, I'm not either.
But
no, but I mean, but there was some logic behind it.
Yeah. don't fix potholes.
My first meeting was a meeting about speed humps on University. And I remember the conversation ended with the statement that paint does a lot, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper.
True. Sure.
Yep.
Is it worth painting lines on our road? Because that's how that conversation ended. Because as I remember, we had all this stuff about speed bumps and speed humps and speed this and speed that. And the conversation ended, I believe it was the chief that said, paint does a lot and it's a lot cheaper. And maybe it's time we look at that. But I'm like you, Scott. I question that much money at $40 a pop, which really was $20 a pop, because we were splitting it. It's a lot of tickets. And I just don't know where it's going to come from.
I don't know how many cars it is. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to divide that out, but now we're not splitting it.
No, but now you have $22,000 in the purchase price, the cost of the upkeep.
Right.
You know. So.
Okay, so we'll get that squared away for next meeting, right?
Do you want me to do some projections on tax? What's a penny of tax generates?
Well, 1,250
billion. Yeah, 15 is some change.
I think we need, like you said, we just need to
buckle
keep the
down
belt
and
tighten as tight as we can keep it and keep going. I think we're already.
I don't think it's
that's my
that.
Thought.
13 cents higher than Denton.
Yeah.
I meant that you get too much higher than every surrounding town, we're never going to grow.
Yeah.
I think Denton decreased theirs last year.
I think right now they're at 74. I think. I'm not sure like Herlock and Preston, but I'm sure they're not. So
well,
now.
Out from under debt, and why are our rates higher? Because we've got more debt than these other places. Once we get out from under debt, then
well, right.
The water sewer bill is going to go down, and ideally the taxes should go down too.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
We had some growth. You know, we got a Popeyes and a Dairy Queen and a.
Dollar store won't hurt. It's on the tax roll.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sad as I am to see it be a dollar store, it will take the tax base.
Did that meeting happen last Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. They have to get some MTE. They have to get some state approvals for some stuff. And then if the state approves what they're asking, then I would imagine that will go through. So. All right. Next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Just to review what Ken just said. They're looking at providing fruit, meat, groceries in this new Dollar General. And the old store, it will remain in place. And right now they're saying it takes 2 deliveries per week to keep it going. They approved the preliminary plan, and they're going to come back to the planning and zoning once the state and other approved what they're requesting. There was an additional thing brought up about talking to them about a fire hydrant down there. Apparently, there's only one down there in that area. And last but not least, Sharon Ewing resigned. That leaves them 3 on there. So, you know, we need to look at getting someone there because if one person misses, they can't do anything. Thank you.
Do you want to mention scheduling the community meeting? That they talked about. So they're working on the comprehensive plan, and a lot of other towns actually had like a community meeting to get community input, kind of like what we did at Chambers Park when we were redoing Chambers Park when the Lions Club started taking that over to see what people wanted to do up there. So I recommended that we do it at Lions Hall up in Chambers Park. They were good with that. Eric and Mercedes were going to get back to me with some good dates. They'll run the meeting, but it will be, you know, basically advertised for a community meeting for input for working on our comprehensive plan. You know, please show up. We'll break out kind of like what we did with Chambers Park for
areas of what people want to see for improvement, like the marina, Chambers Park. You know, obviously we know roads is a hot topic, right? So that's all stuff that can be discussed with the comprehensive plan. So once they get dates, we'll get that posted. But I thought that was a nice idea. They wanted to include the community, so.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ed, did they show a footprint of the store as far as, like, what road it was going to be facing, or?
Yes. The back is going to be facing that house. Well, it's not going to be directly facing that house. It's going to be on a catacorner.
Did anybody bring up, like, making two sides look more like the front so you didn't have...
Basically, and they've got to elevate it, I think they said a foot.
So is that what they're looking at? Like, they kind of having, like, some of them where you have the two fronts with the... Because I didn't want to have it sitting there with, like, going down the highway and you
it's
see
ugly
a
side building.
Ugly metal building sitting there if we're going to let it, you know. All right.
Yeah, so. And I don't think they're going to have access from 313. No.
I'm sure they don't want that headache.
No, we don't, because that's an accident waiting to happen. And they did, because of the way they have to sit with the sloping, they said if you go into the one in Hurlock, it'll be laid out just like Hurlock.
Yeah. And
that
I think,
brand new one.
And I think you brought up about maybe a traffic light.
Eric and I were talking about whether or not we need to start to talk with State Highway as to getting a traffic light there. Depending on the amount of... I know the police go to quite a few accidents there. But that also, that intersection is not well lit. It is pretty dark when you come around that corner. It's very hard to see where that street is. So maybe that's something that we can also talk to State Highway about, or I don't know, would it be State Highway that puts not the traffic light, but a street light to make it brighter on that corner for people. I mean, I know when you go to slow down to turn, you really have to pay attention to where to turn onto South Main. From off the bypass.
We're talking at the end of South Main where the rough property was.
Oh, Kim, you did an excellent job on them lines. Maybe you need to use your charm again.
I can do that for you. I will call. I'll make the phone call for you. See if we can get that squared away. But we did think maybe they need to run the counter across just to see if it would warrant maybe putting a light there. So, is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Councilwoman Soule?
Last week, we had the collective impact conversation up at Chambers Park. That was really well attended. And I will say that they chose to have... This was the convening. It was a culmination of all the meetings that they had throughout the year. And they specifically chose Federalsburg to hold the meeting... meeting in Federalsburg because as a community we had been the most responsive community, and so that was really a very positive thing to hear, because you know I don't always see that in our community.
It was probably 80 people.
We were full. Yeah, they were expecting 75, and I think they exceeded that, so that was good. And they're going to have. They're going to continue having these meetings going forward, so you'll see reminders and invitations. Over the weekend, Councilman Windsor, Mayor Abner, and I, and some of the Lions Club, there was eight of us all together, got together and did the river cleanup. We were a small but productive group. I think we collected at least 5 or 6 bags of trash, put in about 3 hours, and... I will say, from my point of view, we picked up a whole lot less trash this year than we did last year. Still picked up stuff we should not be picking up, but so I think we're getting better. So that was good.
We could have done more if Kim had gotten the water.
We need some waiters is what
yeah,
we need.
I do need it, waiters. Or low tide.
So, no, thankfully it was before this rain yesterday.
Shoo,
so.
Right?
So that was last weekend. This weekend, we're cleaning up at Chambers Park on Saturday. The community's invited to help from starting at 8. We're thinking 8 to 10 or so up at Chambers Park. So we'll be up there. And then I have a couple of other dates. Next week on Wednesday, May 10th, we have our next CAM meeting in Hillsboro, and that starts at 6 p.m. The Arts Council is having a jazz festival up at the Cow Barn in Ridgely the following Saturday, which is May 13th, from 12 to 7. So they've got a whole day's worth of music. It's only $15 a person. And the Cow Barn is a lovely venue if you've not been there, so that would be a fun thing to do if you're available. And then from the Lions Club, our next sandwich sale will be Saturday, May 19th, and we're having it up at Chambers Park at Lions Hall.
Friday,
May 19th, sorry. Yeah, Saturday's the bicentennial celebration. We're not doing it then.
Not do anything then? I thought you were going to do something.
We had thought about it, but we have enough food
vendors.
Apparently,
smoking on the shore decided
so
to participate.
That was really why we were going to do it.
The last time I was up here, y'all were talking about,
We were just worried about having enough food for her, but that's covered, so we're going to move it back to the original date, which was Friday. And we had the one this past Friday up at Lions Hall. I thought it was really successful having it there, so I think that we'll, unless something really changes, we'll probably keep having them up there instead of at the fire department. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
Have we reached out to State Roads with the new administration about doing any paving? Have you talked to them since the new administration?
So I reached out to Delegate Adams and Delegate Hutchinson and Senator Mouts. Delegate Adams took the lead on it the last time, and he was happy to take the lead this time about scheduling a meeting to like get that letter sunsetted and for them to have to take possession back.
Okay.
So Betsy, Delegate Adams' assistant, was trying to find time on his schedule that he can come down for a meeting with us to try to get that letter moving forward. Now that they're out of session, they have a little more time to do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's in the works. I'll let you know when that meeting takes place.
And I've been asked by a couple students at Colonel Richardson if they could put a sign about recycling up somewhere around the marina down at Northwest Fork or something. It'll be about 2x3 wooden post. It's a plastic sign, and then I'll have some stuff on there about there's only one world and a QR code to click on and do something about recycling. This for a school project.
No, I don't have any problem with that.
Well,
you
direct them to where they can recycle over.
They're not putting bins. They're just
they're
using
not
a
putting
sign
bins.
About
no,
why
but
you should recycle.
I mean, it would be nice to
know.
Say, you know, on Mars Avenue.
I can see. I'm not sure exactly what the QR code does, but it talks about littering, and I'm thinking what's wrong with littering, and then it gives you a QR code to snap. And the QR code, I think, is basically a way to for them to see if it does anything.
Track it.
So people click on it and ask a question or two, you fill out, and then they can gather the information and turn in as part of the project.
Having picked up stuff that could be recycled.
Right.
Y'all have
Saturday.
A preference, Northwest Fork Dock, Marina, other side Riverwalk? No.
Oh, okay.
They got one sign. They actually, the plan was to melt down recycled plastic.
Oh, cool.
To
okay.
make their sign.
Right.
I do not think that went over very well. I think they have ordered a plastic sign off Amazon that'll be here in a couple days to then put their stickers on it that they got signed by Willis to make. So, but they tried. The one father helped them melt it all down.
Wow.
You need an oven to bake plastic, and it just kind of fills the thing.
Yeah, because I'm not volunteering my oven for that.
And nobody had an outdoor oven, and of course nobody's going to cook plastic in their house. So they tried it in like an old crab pot, melting it down, and they just couldn't melt it down and then get it into the mold. It did not work very well for them today.
Sounds like a good scientific experiment.
Yeah.
Is it Shrinky Dinks? What did you use to stick in
that? I will take care of getting that place, but the town needs to do nothing, so.
No, it's a shame that's the only place they put them signs. I was up Food Line. There was an elderly lady cleaning the car out, threw everything on the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be able to put it down at Ocean City. Ocean City responded right back, said, yes, we'd love to help you out. They said, we just got to talk to Public Works and see where you can put it. 2.5 months later, not another word from them.
Well, honestly, they should have come to us first.
They wanted something bigger is what they were looking, more people. I think they knew they could always contact me last minute, probably slide in with something. But so
I think there's a lot of people that are down in North. I mean, there's a lot of people at the marina, too. They probably I don't know, 601 after another, yeah. another I feel you know, like as far as location.
Might get seen by more people at Northwest, at the dock, or the Northwest Fork dock. Well, I mean, there is a smaller amount of people, but everyone down there will see it. Where right. at the marina, depending on where you are, you may or may not see it.
Well, what Kim found down there, they're not going to recycle.
I didn't find that. Debbie found that.
Oh, that first time you were down
walking? Oh, the first time I did find one. Yes, I did, yes. Debbie found one this go round.
Oh.
Well. Yeah, yeah. So I'm not the only one that gets to find those gems. Anything else?
No.
Councilman Willoughby?
Just as I've looked over the last couple of days, there seems to be some buzz on Facebook about water bills.
Yes.
And the idea that the water bills are going to be a month behind and this, that, and the other. And so just as we go through this project of changing out the meters, I know part of what Ferguson was planning on doing, part of what I thought we liked about the proposal was public advertising and public information. If that's a thing, is there a way to get it out? People were just commenting that they had called town hall and that was the answer they had gotten and they were sharing. But is there a broader way to get that out if that's truly what's happening?
So I did talk to Christy this afternoon. She told me about the one post on Facebook. She gave me the text of the information that she responded with. And I am going to do a Facebook post about how due to some delays, they are behind in installation based on some supply chain issues and some inconsistencies with installation in the pits. And that we're still actively doing that. And we're still finalizing the directions on how to use their app. And Christy is going to do a robocall about it to everybody.
I think we need to also highlight that, I mean, because I've gotten comments about how our bills are going to be like sticker shock. That's the phrase that keeps coming up. And I just keep reinforcing that your bills will be accurate. You're going to be seeing what you're actually using, and that hasn't necessarily been the case.
I can put that again in that
scene.
We need
to sort of like direct people away from that.
Okay.
But we're also going to have
these new meters are going to read much more efficiently than the old meters.
Correct.
It's not necessarily sticker shock per
right.
se.
Right.
But if you notice an increase, it's because the old meter wasn't reading as well. As
right.
Yeah. I got a text today saying, why are our water bills going up? So
yes.
That's what they think is happening.
Yeah, and there was also a question about that too. Rates going up. I told them they were not going
yeah.
up this time.
Because how many months is this going to cover?
Five.
I mean, that's you're going to double somebody's water bill just in that, not even considering the people who got the new meter first and got all them months. So I mean,
but Christy did say in her, I saw your post mm-hmm. that you can come down and you can make a payment, what your normal payment is, you can make that now, and you
yes.
know, you, then you'll only have a smaller amount due.
Right.
I mean,
and all that. So what I'll do is I'll work on that posting
like that
and
to get out too. Then
give it to you guys.
That,
well, so I'm going
to
put all that in a Facebook post. So I'll get it worked up in a like graphic,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll send it to you guys. If there's anything else you want me to add, then we can do that and post it on Facebook, and I'll put it on the Mayor's Minute recap.
I think that's the biggest thing. The paying of it up front makes perfect sense and it's great information, but how do we get it out to everybody? That's the biggest thing.
Well, Chris is going to do a robocall about that.
Okay.
That should hit everybody that doesn't have social media.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, Beacon uploads everything that's been installed. So we're at about 600 meters out of 1,200 and some change.
Okay.
So by this time tomorrow, we'll have half the meter reads in on an individual basis. If anybody knows their account and they want to see where they are, we can look it up for them. So I've been tracking my own because I know my account number, so I've been tracking my own and doing my own math. It's not hard. The $187 is still going to be $187 flat, but once you know what the rate is, you can, which is $8.40 per thousand, $8.45 I think per thousand, you can track how many thousand of water you used times that, and you add to the base, and you see what your bill's going to be.
This
trick's going to be getting the new trash.
That won't go until next
right.
quarter.
Right.
Oh.
Well, oh, yeah.
October. That'll be the October bill.
Okay.
This might sound like a silly question. Will the homeowner know that their meters have been swapped out? Like, if they don't see it happening, I mean...
No.
No.
The only way I knew mine was done is because my mother-in-law didn't have water. For a small amount of time, she went to the back door and the guy was laid out in the flower bed. So she wanted, she asked questions and found out what was going on.
Okay.
So.
I thought part of that discussion was that they were going to leave like door hangers, that we've replaced your meter and...
Having run into the issues that we ran into with mostly meter size, connection sizes, we had to do that whole survey where they surveyed everybody's pit to see what the condition of the pit is. It, that would have become old news really quick, that we're going to be on Maple Avenue Tuesday starting at 10 o'clock. Well, you weren't going to be on Maple Avenue Tuesday starting at 10 o'clock. So the idea that we'd be able to get upfront info.
No, I meant after they did it.
Yeah,
like, so
there.
I installed your meter, I hung a door, I went to the next one. I installed your meter, I hung something on your door. That's what I was under the impression they were going to do. So, okay.
But we know... I mean, you guys know we're okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what we see is also what, I mean, again, internally, you know, what book you're in. I'm in book two. I don't know how many load up, but we can sort by book one, book two. If you know your meter, not if you know your account number, you can sort by meter number. That is this. Want to take a look at this for a minute, since we're talking?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So now that I have one, can I get on there? Is it open live? Not yet.
It's not live to the public yet.
Well, but for us it is.
Oh, for us it is. Yeah.
Well, but what we could
hear,
what we can do.
That's
what I was asking.
What we can do is write up the directions and have Scott test it, like to make sure that the directions we're going to give out to residents.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
You want to monitor.
So, Christy, what did you do? Get a reading before they installed my meter?
They're reading the data off the old meters as they're pulling them out.
Right. That's why. Okay.
So when the bills come out, the date is an important thing on the system. So we'll put the date in there so that they only get charged for one debt service fee instead of one and a third. That's going to be a nightmare if we try and do that.
Right.
So they'll get one debt service fee for that time frame, and they'll get the usage that's off their old meter. It might be 3 months. It might be 4 months. It depends on when it was actually pulled. So the next bill that comes out is going to be one full quarter of debt service fees and anything on the new meter.
Oh, so you're not adding.
We're not
so you're not necessarily going to have 5 months worth of water when
it
I get this next bill.
Those last people will.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That's why we're trying to get.
I got you, because that's what I was getting ready to ask you. So you're going to send bills out in 3 months or in a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
After this, once you get these
done,
you're not waiting 3 months.
No.
You're going
right back on track.
Okay, good. That's why.
Yeah, nip it in the bud and get right back on track.
Because if not, because we can't lose a month of a quarter of debt service payments and everything else. So we had to. Okay.
No, we got to pay the treasury.
Yeah.
We probably need to make sure we tell people when they get bills, they're twice in like a 2 month or 3 month period or whatever it is.
Yes.
So on an individual basis, this is what this looks like. This is me today using 28 gallons of water. All right, and again, you want to track. That's why it's controlled. It's not sticker shock. All right, if I'm shocked that I used 490 gallons of water in a week, well, last week I used 480. Something must be consistent or routine in my life. You want to see last week? That was last week's usage. You want to see last month?
That's pretty cool.
That was last month's usage. And mine was installed right quick in February, but I think I was the first meter installed. So, again, you want to see what you're doing. It's remarkable, all right? So I used 2,047 gallons in March, 2,000 gallons even in April. The February bill has been at 423. So whatever it is, 2,600 gallons. I do the math, and I know what my bill's going to be. Now, once people get access to this, it's not hard, but if somebody calls in with their account number, because all I put in was monitor, account number, search, and up I came. So there you go. Yeah, there you go. All right, whatever it is, 4,499 gallons from April 15th or whatever it is I went in
So how does that show you can go down to the minute? Is that what that says up there?
I think that's really going to be like the 15-minute increment.
You going to check on the showers on your kids?
We all know when the kids are
do,
home.
All they'll do is depress me.
I'll tell you what you can do is you can check on people watering their lawns. Because somebody puts the sprinkler on all day, and then they want to know how they ran up, you know, $8,000 for water in a month. Well, on the 22nd, did your sprinkler run for 9 hours?
So that will be the one that you want to see if you have any usage when you're checking for leaks, really.
Well, or hour.
Or hour, yeah, either one. So
you
I think you close everything down. If you have any usage, then you know
right.
something's going somewhere.
Or if you know you're going to go on vacation, if you've got an internal cutoff valve, you just shut your house down. And don't have to worry about a
My valves are so old in that basement, I'll be afraid the whole thing will snap right in half.
Yours and mine both.
Yep.
But, big picture, again, right side, big picture. We've got two not reporting. You can see, and that's not bad, it's less than 1%. You can see what if you've got any leaks, how bad those leaks are. You can see who's heavy duty accounts. And once this starts getting flagged, people can go in and on an individual basis flag it and say, hey, wait a minute. If that's one meter, and I think it is for all the apartment complex, that's not the end of the world. Or at least it's one of the three buildings.
One of the buildings, anyway.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. But on an individual basis, and at some of these rental units, or the higher ones, it's on an individual basis that you start looking and saying, well, you know, they can use X 2,000 gallons in a week. And maybe there's a reason why somebody used 2,000 gallons a week, or didn't know that they used 2,000 gallons a week. But that's, we can monitor all that.
So this will have to be monitored daily from here to see how many not reporting so we know when we have problems? Or does not report means it's a problem, or do you got to wait over time to see?
Not reporting means it's a problem with the connection.
Yeah.
Like they didn't either forgot to connect something properly or the mechanism's not working right. So that's an install thing.
But right now we're at 99.3%.
Yeah.
So
usually we've been clearing them up as we go.
Yeah, two endpoint connection communication. So if you click on, I mean, again, this is us, but we can certainly give the resident an answer. All right, it's that one and that one. And one looks like it's in Chamber Park. No, it's on Liberty Road. 115 Liberty Road. So they're having whatever issue they're having.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
It's actually going to make everybody a lot more efficient because if we had to rely on Sean to go out and kind of sort of manually figure all this stuff out. Exactly. So hopefully he does get his time back.
All right. Cool. Anything else?
No.
Okay. The only thing I have, so Thursday is the mayor prayer breakfast. Tomorrow is the last day to RSVP. I will push it again. We push it again, so I'll let you know if I get any more on that. And I did share that sign-up sheet with you, that Google sheet.
It.
Okay. There were. Oh, good. Perfect. Okay. May 20th is 3 weeks out. Councilman Windsor, that is the big bicentennial party downtown. We have the poker run. We've got about 8 food vendors, bunch of other vendors selling other things, and we've got 4 live bands, the parade. It's a big day. It should be a great day. Pray for good weather. Congrats to DeJore Cree for being a district winner for the If I Were Mayor contest from Fettlesburg Elementary. Councilman Willoughby and I are attending the ceremony on May 9th at the governor's reception for him. So that should be exciting. I don't know that we've ever had a winner from the district.
We have. It's been a while.
Have we? Okay, so I'm excited for that. That'll be great. School was super excited. So the student and the parents and the teacher are going. And then I'll work on that post for the water meter. And then for MML submission, I submitted the Banner City application, and I did the, they were asking for 10-second videos for your town to promote your town, so I did a 10-second video, which is 10 seconds is very quick when you were trying to say a bunch of stuff with a video. So thankfully I talk fast. So I basically put the picture of the giant sturgeon, pictures of the marshy hope, and picture of the Buster the Catfish, and said, you know, come visit us. We've got, you know, a spawning sturgeon and Buster the Blue Catfish. So come see us. And that's, yep.
Where breakfast, where and when?
It is at Union United Methodist Church on Thursday morning at 7:30. It's $15 to cover the cost of your breakfast. And that's tied with National Day of Prayer. So the Fettlesburg Ministerial Association helped put the agenda, the program together for that whole day. So, and that's all I have. If we don't have anything else, I will take a motion to go into executive session for personnel and legal advice.
Could you repeat all that?
Yep, nope. Mm-mm. I got it written down.
I make a motion to go into executive session for legal and personnel advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Rob?